A recent mass shooting in Buffalo, which appears to be motivated by a racist ideology, was made possible in part because of the de facto segregation in New York's second largest city, contributing to starkly divided neighborhoods, where the white alleged shooter in this tragedy was able to easily pick off black people at a grocery store. To discuss these underlying systemic conditions, we're checking in once again with Jim Heaney, editor of Investigative Post, an online nonprofit investigative outlet focused on Western New York that you can find at investigativepost.org. Welcome back to the show, Jim.
Nice to be back, David.
Well, following the mass shooting at a grocery store on the east side of Buffalo, you wrote about the long-running policy decisions that have contributed to so many of the city's black people being cordoned off on the east side. Can you talk about what has led to this dynamic?
A lot of it goes back decades and decades. Mortgage policies of the federal government, which made it much more difficult for blacks to get mortgages than whites. You had policies where certain neighborhoods, realtors simply would not sell to black people. You've got all that, but you've also got more recently, you've got government policies that have really led to the over-policing and the underinvestment in the black community. Let me throw a couple of numbers at you. Metropolitan Buffalo area, that is Erie, Niagara County, is the sixth most segregated metropolitan area in the country. Sixth most segregated. The city itself is about the 17th most segregated city in the country. And most blacks in this region live in the city. The city is about 35% black. You factor out the city, the rest of the metropolitan area is only 6% black. So you've got a sizable black population here, but they're living primarily not only in the city, but they're living on the east side of Main Street. About 85% of blacks live on the east side of Main Street. A lot of other neighborhoods are racially segregated where they're predominantly white. That community has been the subject of a lot of police action that has targeted the black community, and not in a good way, and a lack of investment. The University of Buffalo Center for Urban Studies released a study last fall that tracked the plight of black Buffalonians over the last 30 years. And Dr. Henry Taylor and his team concluded that blacks have made no progress as a whole in the last 30 years. And what's noteworthy about that is the last 16 years, Buffalo has been led by a black mayor, Byron Brown. And the study concluded that the policies of Buffalo government, black mayor, black common council president, the city has done the black community no favors whatsoever.
Well, has there been an effort by city or state policymakers to reintegrate the city over the last 20 years? And was this an issue at all in the recent mayoral race, which saw the incumbent mayor, who's a Democrat, Byron Brown, actually lose a primary before actually winning a general election via a write-in campaign?
Yeah, the short answer is there's been no effort. I don't think there's ever been any effort to try and desegregate the city. There have been efforts to desegregate the schools, a successful lawsuit back in the 70s, and lawsuits in an attempt to desegregate public housing here and to diversify the police and the fire department in the city. So there's been a lot of litigation, but the practical reality, Buffalo schools right now are probably more segregated than they've ever been. Public housing remains highly segregated. This has proven to be a very stubborn place for any semblance of racial diversity.
And has this existing segregation basically made it easier for racist ideologies or, I guess, misperceptions to foster?
Well, it certainly hasn't helped. I think what it is in another piece I wrote last week was on the rise of the radical right in Western New York. And there's a small but not insignificant cadre of extreme right-wing folks here. not so much in the city, but throughout the region. And I think the segregation you see is a reflection of very long-held beliefs. This has been a very strong ethnic community going back generations. You know, there used to be the Italian section of town and the Irish section of town and the Black section of town, et cetera, et cetera. But in terms of our regional politics, I guess the first thing I would say is, where did Tim McVeigh come from? He came from Western New York. He grew up in Pendleton, which is in Niagara County. Where's Carl Palladino from? Well, he's from Buffalo. Despite all his provocative statements involving race, really offensive statements involving race, he's still an accepted member of the Buffalo establishment. He's on boards. He's accepted. You know, he lost for governor, came back and got elected to the school board. Buffalo is increasing. The Buffalo area is, I think, increasingly tolerant of people who are not enlightened when it comes to race, who really aren't enlightened when it comes to other things. I mean, this Erie County elected Tim Howard sheriff 4 times. This is a guy who about 30 people died in the Erie County Holding Center during his watch. His management was of the holding center was widely criticized by authorities, yet he kept getting reelected, even after he appeared at a rally with Confederate flags and neo-Nazis attending. This is Buffalo, a city of good neighbors, yeah, in some ways, but also has a reactionary streak to it.
Earlier this year, we had the state and Erie County commit, I think, about $850 million toward the creation of a new stadium for the Buffalo Bills. So when we talk about investments in the region that have basically left Black people in the area behind, is this something that continues that trend, or do you think this is something that will create opportunities for Black people, say, in the east side of Buffalo?
No, it will create little to no opportunities. The stadium is being built in a distant, predominantly white suburb, Orchard Park. There was resistance to putting a stadium in the city. I think, given the Pagoule is really the total cost to the public when you factor in ongoing expenses as well, is about $1.1 billion. And it's an investment in a football team that will play in that stadium 8-10 times a year. It's not money that's going toward, frankly, more urgent concerns, not only on the east side of Buffalo, but throughout the region. We have got a lot of particularly infrastructure problems. Bad sewer lines, bad water lines, bad bridges, bad roads. That money's not going toward projects that would benefit the community at large. It goes to benefit Kim and Terry Pagoule, who are billionaires who are very capable of paying for the stadium themselves.
Well, finally, is there any indication in the wake of this shooting, based on statements you've heard from local or state policymakers, or any sort of subtle indications from the electorate and other activists and groups, that there is going to be the will or interest in addressing the systemic conditions that contributed to the city being segregated for so long?
I think right now what you're seeing is a couple of things. You're seeing a lot of the expected posturing on the part of politicians. Mayor Byron Brown is chastised the federal government for not investing more in cities like Buffalo. This coming from a guy who is not invested in his own city with the resources he has available to him. I think there is a move afoot, more of a grassroots level effort that I think has some potential to address conditions on the east side that affect black residents. And I think that's really the only hope, because the political establishment in this town has never had a sincere interest in addressing the problems of the underclass in this town. It's been to support business interests at the expense of the average person.
Well, we've been speaking with Jim Heaney. He's the editor of Investigative Post, an online nonprofit investigative outlet focused on Western New York that you can find at investigativepost.org. Jim, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.